Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. This is Joe Scott filling in for Bob Enyart, pastor of Denver Bible Church. Whoa, we almost didn't make it on the air today. We got hit by lightning and all the lights went out, but our magnificent producer got us back online right on time. That's amazing. I didn't think we would be on today. So, another day in the SB 200 saga. So, I don't think I talked about gender yesterday, the word gender. In SB 200, the word gender is crossed out. I read the bill with all the strike-throughs in it, and every place that the word gender appears is struck. You can't use the word gender in that bill. And I was having trouble thinking it through. Why? Why can't you use the word gender? Well, if they actually put the word gender in there, then someone might be able to specify a gender. And if they don't put the word gender in there, then if you think you're a woman, you can do pretty much whatever you want to do. You can go into the men's room, you can go into the wherever you want to go. And it leaves it open to anything, anyone who thinks they're some crazy thing during the day can switch back and forth. There's no way, there's no legal definition for gender either. There's no legal definition for homosexual or transsexual. There's no real good legal definition that a court can get a handle on and use. So I thought that maybe you should be aware of that, because that just leaves a ton of more doors open for these people. Now, I got something for you. Carter Clinton joined to reshape Baptist image. Can you believe it? Carter and Clinton are going to reshape the Baptist image. Apparently, there's some 20,000 Baptists that feel their image is too negative and they need a facelift. So Jimmy Carter has come up with this new organization. It's called the Convocation. It's part of Carter's new Baptist Voice initiative. Folks, the world has gone mad. The inmates are running the asylum. I'm not kidding. Baptists going to Carter and Clinton. I was looking through Free Republic this afternoon, you know, and they have some pretty interesting pictures of Clinton with little halos around his head and stuff. It's kind of funny. But this is going to take away the negative image of the Baptist Church. You see, they perceive themselves as being seen by the public as narrow-minded, sometimes mean-spirited, self-righteous. Who wants to change? This Reverend David Spencer changed his name from First Baptist to Centerpoint Church in December because too many people think the Baptists are too mean-spirited. And he said, that's not who we are at all. He said, we need to be known for feeding the poor, helping Katrina victims, all kinds of things like that. But not, you know, not for naming sin, not for preaching on sin or pointing out that abortion is wrong or homosexuality is wrong. They don't want to be known for that because that's just mean-spirited. I'll tell you what's mean-spirited. Going around feeding the poor and forgetting to tell them how to get to heaven. Letting them remain in their sin. It's like the government that gives needles to drug addicts, but they don't want them to use a dirty needle so they won't die. So they give them clean needles so they can have safe drug addiction. It's nuts. It doesn't make any sense. It's surreal. It really is. And he also says he wants the Baptist churches to be working for justice. What kind of justice is there without Christ? There is none. You know, it's social justice is what they want. Social justice, the right to abortion, the right to be gender free. I guess that's going to be the next slogan from these people. Also, they also said they're hoping that the Southern Baptist Church will come on board with them and be at their next convention. And so that they can all work together to create, this is what they say, an authentic and genuine prophetic Baptist voice in these complex times. Well, folks, what's complex about these times? Nothing has changed since God laid down the rules in the very beginning. What was wrong then is wrong now. So if the times have become complex, that's because we've allowed them to. We've abdicated our power to judges. I've said this a million times, to judges and politicians and lawyers. And we want to have a nice image. We don't want anybody to look cross-eyed at us. Well, Jesus didn't come to earth to love everybody into hell. He told the truth and what happened to him. He was crucified. And it's time for us to step up. I mean, I don't know. I'm not willing to take on these independent Baptist churches, but I can tell you I got a phone call from an independent Baptist church in California. My pastor that I used to have in California called me this morning. He says, Joe, did you see what's going on? He said, I don't know what we're going to be able to do about this. And I said, well, I don't think you're going to get a whole lot of independent people to do one thing, but I bet he takes a contingency to pick at that church. Also, we need to discuss SB 192. SB 192, Ritter signed into law the other day.
Pardon the interruption. This is a tornado warning effective for Adams County and southwest Weld County until 3:33 p.m. A funnel cloud was spotted on the ground. This is from the National Weather Service. Tornado warning, Adams County, southwest Weld County, until 3:33 p.m.
Wow, folks, take your radio to the cellar and listen to the show there. Wherever you are, make sure that you're safe. If you're in a car, get to low ground. Don't be sticking up. Find if you see a funnel cloud, find a ditch and get in it. Get out. Just don't park under a bridge. If it takes the bridge, it's taking you too. So be very careful, folks. And we'll update you as the show goes on as to where the funnel cloud is, if there are any more sightings. And just be careful. If you feel you're unsafe and you're at the radio, get away from the radio. We need to get rid of Ritter. You know, we really need to get rid of Ritter. He just signed another unbelievable bill. I wanted to have Will Duffy, SB 192 should be named SB Will Duffy Bill because it was made just for him, the founder of the Collaborators Project. He just signed a bill this week that outlaws all residential picketing. And not only just people holding signs, we can hold a sign 2x3 that nobody can see, but we have big truth trucks that go into the residences, and they have the truth like 10 feet high and 16 feet long, and with the big banners on the trucks, and everybody can see them for blocks away. And these trucks don't have signs nailed to them. They have banners. The trucks are made for the banners. It's a decent looking truck, except for they don't like the message on the truck. So they outlawed those trucks from the neighborhood because they have signs on them. So maybe you should check with Verizon and see if they'll be able to go into that neighborhood and if it'll affect their business, because they have signs on their truck. They have messages on their truck. In the United States, they can't take our First Amendment away from us legally, so they say, if they don't like the content of our message. But they're doing it over and over and over again in Colorado. So we haven't crystallized our message back to Ritter on this one, and we haven't completely decided what we're going to do, but believe me, something's going to be done. And we can't stand in front of the homes anymore. So no trucks riding around the neighborhood with the message on it, no big signs with the message on it. We can't stand in front of the homes with the message on it. And they think that they've solved their problem. Well, I have a feeling, and they might get a clue, that they've just cut their nose off in spite of their face again. We are not going to allow the legalized right to free speech to override our God-given right to free speech. These people are building, the whites people are building the biggest death camp in the country in Denver. They're doing everything in their power to intimidate protesters. So I have a trial in a few days. You know, bring it on. Bring it on. You know, this is a time when people are going to have to realize, because of SB 200, because of SB 192, because of these goofy bubble laws that they have all over the country, that we need to seriously consider, are we going to stand up for Jesus, or are we just going to keep hiding and hiding and back into the churches and back into our holes and do nothing? We can't do that. And men, especially men out there, I shouldn't be the one on trial. Should be a man. Should be a man. There should be a head from every household on the street, at the abortion clinics, outraged that babies are dying. It should be men, heads of every household, that are outraged about their children who now are not even safe in a public restroom because somebody has an idea that they might be a woman today. How ridiculous. I mean, this, you couldn't have made this up 30 years ago when I started in this ministry. You couldn't have. Nobody would have believed it. You know, back in 1980, when our church began to picket the homosexual community in San Diego, it's a town called Hillcrest. I'm going to tell you a story. We got 500 people, and we made 500 signs. I made a lot of those signs, and I've been making signs ever since, unfortunately. But we walked into this town that's completely taken over. It's called Hillcrest in San Diego. It's near Balboa Park. And the people from Hillcrest were spilling into Balboa Park, and it wasn't safe for children to be in there because there were homosexuals that were pushing for outdoor intimacy. Let's just keep it nice. And we couldn't let our kids in the bathrooms in the park. We couldn't, and it's a beautiful, beautiful park in San Diego. Well, my pastor, his name is Dorman Owens, organized a picket with 500 people, and we each held signs, and we walked to the gate of Hillcrest. It's a big archway that you have to go under when you enter this town of Hillcrest. We went under that with our signs, and we began to march through Hillcrest. And the homosexuals came out and they lined both sides of the street that we were on, and we had to go through this gauntlet. And now, let me tell you, this is in 1982, 1983. There was one man that got in front of me, and he had a little boy on his shoulders, and he said to me, "He's mine. He's mine to do what I want with." And he was menacing and scary. And this was a long time ago. Now, I understand that he may have been just trying to get my dander up. And you know what? He did. He got my dander up. I couldn't believe it. Nobody in their right mind would hold a child like that and say those things. That you've got to be cruel and perverted. You have to be in order to hold a child in your arms or on your shoulders and say those kinds of things. And this was in 83. And back then, nobody believed that the homosexual movement could grow like it has. In fact, today, people aren't believing it. If you think there's the same amount of homosexuals around, but they're just coming out as there were back in the 40s, you're wrong. In the 1900s, you're wrong. Sodom and Gomorrah didn't turn into a homosexual town overnight. They recruit, and they recruit your children. They're using the public schools. They're using the churches. They are. You know, let me give you an example of how they are. There's a church here in town, St. John's Episcopal. They think it's okay to be homosexual, and they think abortion's okay. So we picket them. Ken and I and anybody else that we can get to go with us picket that church. But we haven't for the last couple of years because they got a restraining order against us. But June 11th, Ken is going to court, and he's going to court to before a panel of three judges on oral arguments for appeal because he was found guilty, and we've got this restraining order. So now Ken is appealing this, and he's going before this panel of three judges on June 11th. You know, my husband, he sits and he studies the law, and he studies the law, and he gets into court, and you know what he tells them? He tells them about how God hates what they're doing. He knows the law and he knows the case law, and he knows what to say to those judges that will legally not hurt him. But when he gets before those people, he can't seem to come out with it. He's got to tell them the truth. He tells them how their souls are in danger. He tells them how wicked they are and what they're doing to the children and the women in this society, and how society can't exist with no moral compass and a court that's gone wild with legalization instead of righteousness. And I admire him for that, because he's right. We've got a bunch of crazy people running our courts. They're crazy. And in fact, if you talk to a judge, if you push him on the subject and you say, well, it's wrong and this is right, he said, it's not about, they'll tell you it is not about right and wrong. It's about the law. And whatever the law says, they're sworn to uphold. And it's like they don't have a brain in their head. They uphold whatever the law says. If Will Duffy decides to let, he's going to have a little baby girl here pretty soon. I hear by the ultrasounds, she's pretty cute. But as she's getting older, if she goes into a restroom and there's a man in there and Will goes and throws the man out, he goes before a judge that will tell him that he was wrong for throwing the man out. You know what the Bible says about in the end times? I'm not saying that this is the end times, but in the end times, good will be called evil and evil will be called good. Scary, scary. And did you know? This is another thing that's scary. England has now, they've passed a resolution in England that it's going to be okay to clone half man, half animal, people, animal. Who knows what they are? They're making it legal in England. I'm sure that they're trying to do it in private places all over the place. But once the government makes it legal, then there's government funding, and then it just goes from bad to worse. And if this doesn't sound like it did back in the days of Noah, I don't know what does. I mean, we know about the Nephilim in the days of Noah, but I can't even imagine what can happen. Hopefully, I was talking to a pastor recently, and he said, well, hopefully, God, there are inhibitors within the two that won't let them combine into a half and half. And I'm hoping that, but, you know, the Bible says that man can reach every imagination that he has. And I don't think that God was devoid of understanding how evil we could be. I think he figured that out by the flood. So this church, St. John's Episcopal, hired one of the biggest law firms in the state. I think it's in the world. I know they have offices all over the world, and they're in there and they're fighting against Ken about being able to pick it. And they say we're targeting children. Now get this. We are targeting children because we have big graphic signs outside of their church on Easter. Well, we just thought we'd take the kids that'll never get to have an Easter service to an Easter service. And so they call that targeting kids. I'll tell you what targeting kids is. Targeting kids is ordaining a minister. Her name is Nina Churchman. Ordaining a minister to be on the board of Planned Parenthood. They ordained that minister, and she was on the board of Planned Parenthood. So that's targeting children. That's choosing a child and killing one. That's targeting children. Telling children the truth isn't targeting them. That's keeping them safe. That's loving them. No matter how old they are, they can know that killing a child is wrong. Okay, we have a phone call. Dave.
Hey,
hello,
Joe.
Dave.
Are you, you're saying that you're not saying it's the end times, but it sure does seem like it, doesn't it, sometimes?
It's scary. I mean, if this isn't the end times, you know, I'm praying it is, because I want out of here. I believe in the rapture.
Yeah,
and if
too.
It isn't, who knows what slippery slope we're going to go down? Who knows what comes next for the Christian?
How much worse can it get?
How much worse? I think it can get a whole lot worse. Yeah. They're not coming to our houses like Paul did and drag the Christians out and kill them.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Court appearance for Ken, is that open to the public?
Yes, it is.
So we need to get a whole bunch of people down there to support him.
I think we should. We need a lot of people, not just to support him, but to show the judge this isn't going unnoticed.
That's right.
You know, and people in there praying while the court proceedings are going on. I didn't bring the paper in the studio with me that has the time. It's June 11th. If you're listening, why don't you call in and tell me what time it is, okay? But, Dave, yeah, I really appreciate that. We do need to support him.
We need to get that courtroom packed.
We need to get that courtroom packed, and we need to get people praying.
Absolutely.
You know, he's doing what's right for that church, for those ministers. He preaches to them. There's nobody that gets in there without hearing the gospel when my husband's there.
That's right. It's like if your neighbor's house on fire, you don't just ignore it. You go to your neighbor and say, hey, your house is on fire.
That's right.
Absolutely.
So, no, thanks for calling in, Dave.
All right. God bless you, Joe.
God bless you, too. So, folks, we have a call-in number, 1-800-8-NYARD or 1-800-836-9278. And if you'd like to call in, I'd sure like to field your calls. You know, another thing that happened today, I don't know if this is kosher to say on the radio, but I'm gonna. Laura Ingraham is known as a Christian on the radio, and she does a talk show every morning. And I turned the talk show on this morning just to see if she was talking about Obama or what. And she's off for some reason. She's off today. That's Ken calling in on the cell phone. Ken, don't call on the cell phone. But that's okay. I turned it on, and guess who's taking Laura Ingraham's place today on the radio? Tammy Bruce. Tammy Bruce is she's a conservative lesbian, and she's taking Laura Ingraham's place on the radio. I just couldn't believe it. She's conservative, and she has some decent ideas. You know, it's not every homosexual doesn't have every wrong idea. She has some conservative ideas, but in the end, she'll lead people to hell. And that's not the first time Laura Ingraham has done that. So that really irritated me. So I didn't listen to it. I shut it off. Do I have a phone call? Okay. We need to call people like Laura Ingraham and remind them, you know, just put a little, I don't know what you call it, a regulator on her moral compass and say, look, if you're really a Christian, do things that would enhance Christians. Tammy Bruce, who knows how she would feel about SB 200? Who knows? And who knows? Oh, I don't even want to go into that. As far as Ken's court case goes, it is June 11th, but I don't remember the time. I should, but I don't. And we do need as many of you out there to pray for him, because he has to stand up before that judge, a panel of three judges, and do an oral argument. One of the other people who will be doing an oral argument is a lawyer, a good friend and lawyer for us, and he will probably take care of the case law and stuff. Today, we have no new updates on the tornado. So, as far as we know, you're safe. Ken is on the line. Hi, Ken.
Hello there, Joe.
Hi.
The time is at 1:30 at the Supreme Court building at 14th and Broadway.
Yeah.
And that's June 11th, and ask for lots of prayer for that time period for those three judges.
Are you prepared?
Well, only with God's help.
Yeah, that's true. So, where are you, Ken?
I'm driving my truck for Martinez Trucking Company.
No, I meant, can you see the bad weather? Do you see big clouds coming?
Yes, I see lots of dark clouds out there.
Okay, well, be careful.
Especially on our society, too.
Yes, that's true. Be careful, Ken. Thanks for calling.
God bless.
All right. Bye. So back to St. John's Episcopal, there's a Reverend Peter Eaton. He's the one that is actually pushing this suit against us and against Ken. And he is also one that allows the homosexuals in his choir. In fact, we talked to a young man sitting on the steps outside of St. John's Episcopal, and he said he was having such a hard time because he had questions about his sexual identity, but as long as he was a homosexual, they would pay for his education. But if he went the other way, St. John's wouldn't help him with his education. How do you like that? That's pretty horrible. I have another caller. Someone called in, I see. Someone called in and said that Laura Ingram is Jewish. Well, I've heard her talk more than one time about her Catholicism. So she may be Jewish ethnically, but her religion is Catholic, because I've heard her say that more than once. We need for you to contact Bob and buy some of his products. The other night I had a little 15-year-old girl with me, and we were watching Eagle Eggs, and she couldn't get over what Bob was doing with those eggs. If you haven't seen this video, some farmer brings into the studio a couple of Eagle Eggs that the parents have abandoned. And what Bob does with it and how the callers react to what he's doing is really, really funny. You need to get that. If you haven't read the plot is probably the best overview and insight into the Bible that you can buy on the market today. You cannot get anything better than the plot. I understood the message that comes in the plot, but I never could put it together the way that Bob did. That guy is a genius. He's out of town right now, but he's a genius. And he put it together in a way that if you read the plot, you will understand the overview from beginning to end. And things, little questions like, are tongues correct? Where does healing have a place in today's church? All that, you're going to understand it if you read the plot. I recommend that, highly, highly recommend that you read the plot. Okay, folks, I can hear the music coming on. Wikipedia says Ingram is a Catholic, so I guess I was right. Don't forget Maranatha Christian School. It's one of the best Christian schools.